It's your pals, Dave and Darren. Thrilled to welcome you to another Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. You're about to hear a review of the things we got done on our morning show. Not the entire morning show.
No.
No one has time for that. These are the top 5 things. And it is brought to us by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
They have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Nature's Treatment of Illinois' goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally, because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. Their experienced wellness consultants will sit down with you and discuss what options are going to work best to make you feel more comfortable. Before that, you can take a look at frequently asked questions. They are answered at the website, ntillinois.com.
Shall we?
Number one.
Number one.
It's that time of year again when dozens of teams from all over Japan travel to the Japanese town of Ito to compete in the All Japan Pillow Fighting Championships.
How do you not love that?
I think it's fantastic. Pillow fighting championships. It's a national sport over there.
I would have to imagine that there is some sort of monitoring to make sure that someone doesn't have, oh, I don't know, like a horseshoe or a hammer in their pillow.
Finish him.
I mean, come on.
You have to first battle it out in regional qualifying events. Winning teams then meet up in the small fishing town of Ito, south of Tokyo, to compete in the All Japan Pillow Fighting Championships and the title of Japan's Best Pillow Fighter. How in the world is that a thing? The All Japan Pillow Fighting Championships were inspired by something called Makuru Nage, which is fun pillow fights that Japanese students engage in before bedtime when they're out on school trips. It's a ritual experienced by many Japanese. So you go out on a field trip, an overnight field trip.
You gotta
have a good bedtime,
pillow.
It's time for Makuru Nage.
Nice big pillow.
Are there bricks in that pillow, hero?
Wait a minute. Why is he bleeding? Look at the gash he opened up in his forehead.
Yoshi, that's an anvil covered in a pillowcase.
It's a throw star.
They decided it'd be fun to relive the fun days of Makuru Nage by doing it for adults. The tournament started in 2013, and it's been held every year since.
I don't know. I can still see that getting out of control.
The rules are simple. A pillow fight is played between two teams of five players wearing yukatas, a traditional summer outfit. Looks like kind of pajamas to me, like a robe. It starts out with the players pretending to be asleep on futons.
Oh boy, there's a whole act and everything.
I love this more and more. Then the referee blows their whistle, signaling them to get up and reach for their pillows. From this point on, pillow fighting is kind of like dodgeball.
Wait a minute, if you're pretending to be sleeping...
Well, you're woken up by the
whistle. Why do you have to reach for your pillow? Your pillow's right there.
Oh, do you have to put on an act like, what's going on?
Yes, you probably do.
Oh!
Oh, no!
Then pillow fighting is similar to dodgeball. The goal is to hit the opposing team's players with pillows and send them out of the game. It's a very unique sport with unusual rules.
So you're throwing the pillows?
For example, whenever you shout the phrase, the teacher is coming, that forces the opposing team to retreat to their futons for 10 seconds, allowing them to move around and fetch pillows from the other side of the court.
Where can I watch this? Is this on Hulu?
It's on the Ocho. The ultimate goal in competitive pillow fighting is to hit the opposing team captain. When that happens, even if all the opponent's other players are still in the game, the round is over.
Okay, so you protect him kind of like the queen bee.
Yes. The first team to win 2 2-minute rounds wins the game.
And it is a team sport.
Yes. Now, at some point, to make sure the captain is protected, one player can grab like a comforter and protect the captain to build like a wall against the pillows.
Why don't you just cover him in the comforter?
This is my favorite thing ever. I'm not kidding. I'm going to be spending the rest of the day watching this.
I don't doubt it.
The championships made their debut in 2014, and that's when a Japanese pillow company, Makura Kabushiki Kagashika, released a special pillow that's designed specifically for competitive pillow fighting.
Yeah, that's what you need.
It is the only officially recognized pillow for the championships. Costs about $30. It is perfectly balanced, heavy enough to throw, yet elastic enough not to cause any serious injuries. So these groups show up for the National Pillow Fighting Championships. All ages, kids as young as 9 to veterans in their 60s.
Yeah, I was going to ask if they have like weight classes.
No, it's all ages. The top prize is 100,000 yen, which works out to about $915. We should totally do this. We should do Dave and Darren's pillow fight. We could totally do this.
As opposed to doing it, that's what we'll call the show from now on.
Good morning. You're listening to Dave and Darren's Pillow Fight.
Good morning. Welcome to the Pillow Fight, everyone.
Have you been watching any of Squid Game?
No. What is that?
Squid Game it's on Netflix now. It's a South Korean television show. And I haven't watched it. It just made its debut a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. I think it's the number one show on Netflix. It's a South Korean survival drama. 9 episodes. It tells the story of a group of people who risk their lives in a mysterious game with a prize of $38 million.
Ooh.
456 people, all of whom have had problems financially in life, are invited to play a mysterious survival competition.
So it's the Hunger Games.
Competing in a series of traditional children's games, but with deadly twists. They put their lives on the line to compete for the $38 million. So there's the main characters. One is a chauffeur and a gambling addict. He lives with his mother and struggles to financially support his daughter. He's participating in the game to settle his many debts. There's the head of an investment team. Was a gifted student, but is now wanted by the police for stealing money from his clients. Squid Game. I don't think it's real, but it looks real. The Squid Game looks like it's a real... like, show. Like, they make it look like it's a Survivor show. But it's actors. And I've been told that it gets pretty heavy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Squid Game. Not as much fun as pillow fighting. Competitive pillow fighting. The teacher is coming. What would the American equivalent of that be?
The teacher is coming?
I mean, like, this is built out of the fact that apparently they have field trips where they take school-age children places overnight, and they all sleep in a room together and...
have pillow fights.
Yeah, have pillow fights. I don't know, Darren. I think this is something we should think about throwing. The Dave and Darren Pillow Fighting Championships.
You got to sign a waiver, though.
Oh, sign your life away. You kidding me?
Number two.
Let me ask you something. If we were in Bolivia.
Yes.
Where would you want to go for lunch?
For lunch?
Yeah.
In Bolivia?
Yeah, let's say you and I found ourselves in Bolivia.
And you're paying?
Sure.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, you know what I make, so keep it fair.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
We're not going out for lobsters.
Maybe some sort of potluck.
Bolivian potluck?
Yeah.
That's not bad. There's a burger chain down there called Hot Burger. Does that sound like it's up your alley?
Well, it sounds better than Cold Burger.
I don't know. Honestly, a cold burger sometimes does it for me.
That hits the spot?
Yeah, sometimes...
you got a lot of leftover hamburgers?
Sometimes I'll make a hamburger sandwich...
cold?
One or too many, and then I will have it the next day, cold.
You don't heat it up?
I can go either way. I'm not going to sit here and suggest a cold hamburger is as good as cold pizza, but it has happened. There are times where I'm so hungry, I don't have the 30 seconds it takes to heat it up.
Now that you're part of the family, I've got something to share with you.
This woman goes to Hot Burger there.
Yes, Hot Burger in Bolivia.
Yes.
Nice.
This would be the location. They've got locations all over Bolivia. Stephanie Benitez was enjoying the hamburger at her favorite fast food chain, Hot Burger. This would be the location in Santa Cruz de la Sierra. This is Sunday. She's chewing on the burger when she feels something strange.
Oh, no.
Like...
Oh, no.
Yeah, that doesn't... Chewing on this, it doesn't quite feel like burger. And was repulsed when she pulled out part of a severed finger.
Ugh.
That was somehow in the burger. There was a human finger...
Just keep working.
...in the burger. She posted this video on social media. As you can imagine, Stephanie Benitez loses her mind because there really shouldn't be human fingers in the hamburgers.
Well, it should be easy enough to figure out whose it is.
She's filming as she's screaming, saying, listen, I found this finger in my burger.
Ugh.
One worker says here, just tell us what you want and we'll give it to you. And he explains,
I want my innocence back.
I don't know how to tell you this. The meat is prepared somewhere else. Nothing like this has happened to us before. It's not anybody here's finger. That's from where we get the burgers.
Everybody
from.
Raise your hand. If this is your finger, raise your hand.
Just tell us what you want and we'll give it to you. Tell you what I want? There's a rotting human finger in my hamburger. Hot Burger calling the incident unfortunate. Explaining for the first time about an employee who lost their finger while working. In fact, they're now saying, and I don't know that this is better news for the people at Hot Burger, that, well, the person who was working at the plant that makes the burgers actually lost two fingers.
So there's still another one out there.
And they haven't found the other one. Everything indicates that the worker who was operating the meat grinding machine lost two fingers, according to Vice Minister of Consumer Defense Jorge Silva. One of the fingers would have appeared in a hamburger, and it is not known what happened to the other.
Enjoy the chicken tenders. And I quote chicken tenders.
Oh, no. At the moment of eating, she says here in a Facebook post, at the moment of eating, I chewed on a finger. Authorities able to corroborate the story, temporarily closing the restaurant after what they called an attack against public health. I would just suggest maybe permanently closing that location. Who's going to want to eat?
No, we're shutting down Bolivia. The whole thing. Shut it down.
You know what, though? There will be people who will be in line to get into Hot Burger. It's like when a...
Cannibals?
No, when a roller coaster kills somebody. They shut it down for a day. And then the day it opens, the lines are the longest for the roller coaster that killed somebody. It's just human nature. And I also think there's a certain element, now that you know there's another finger in there.
Uh-huh.
There's almost like a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Like,
gold ticket.
Yeah, who's going to find it? They don't know what happened to the other finger? When you're at the meat grinding place and you lose a finger in the meat, you don't stop?
No, you keep doing the grinding.
Oh, no. No. This isn't... Ugh.
I can't lose this job.
Not in this economy. The branch of Hot Burger closed by the government, the Vice Minister for the Defense of User and Consumer Rights, has also issued a fine for the good people at Hot Burger. There's pictures here of the finger, and they're pretty savage. Look at that. Oh, I'm off burgers for a time. Oh.
It's fuzzy.
Yeah, it's still got the nail on it and everything. There's no mistaking. Like, it's not like, this could be a finger. That's a finger, all right. Hot Burger. Finger licking good. Yeesh.
Number three.
New survey suggesting that 3 in 5 Americans would end a date early or break up with someone if they had a food habit that they just couldn't stand. especially men, by the way. Now, food habits, you're wondering, what would that be? What would be an annoying food habit?
What are we talking about?
Talking with your mouth full is the top.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
So if you're on a date with somebody,
yeah,
you go out to dinner, and she's talking with her mouth full.
Yeah.
And you just decide, you know what?
Let's end this now.
Chewing too loudly is on the list here. Open mouth chewing. So not talking, but letting us have a view as you masticate your food. Slurp. I don't know that I've ever experienced that. Somebody who just open mouth chews. Talking with your mouth open, full of food is one thing, but to just... I don't know that I've ever experienced anyone doing that.
No, I had a buddy that I had breakfast with one time, and he went after a hash brown like he was a Wolverine. It was pretty impressive.
Did you say something to him, or
it was?
Did you say like, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" Or after the fact, did you mention it, or did you keep this to yourself until now? It obviously had an impact on you for you to remember it.
Well, I made sure to keep my fingers away from him.
Slurping food on the list of top annoying habits, double dipping. And then eating food off the floor.
You know how they always teach you to kind of curl your fingers in if you're chopping something?
Yeah, right.
That's what I had to kind of do. I just had to kind of curl my fingers in.
Darren, this hash brown's delicious. Why do you have your hands in your pockets?
It looks like you think it's delicious.
Men are almost twice as likely than women to break up with somebody or end a date early because of food habits. I got to bail.
It doesn't bother women as much as men, huh?
I would have assumed the opposite. Having an unusual food habit could be the reason why you're single. If you're someone who's constantly eating food off the floor, it turns out that's not an attractive trait. Who knew? On a first date, 42% said chewing with their mouth open was enough reason to end the night early. 49% of people also said dropping food on the floor and eating it was also unforgivable.
What about fast eating?
Just
someone who just, okay, they
too
keep,
fast,
they
yeah.
keep their mouth shut.
Yeah.
They don't talk while they're eating.
Yeah.
But they just, it's gone. It's like, what happened?
I don't know. I think that would turn me on, if anything. Boy, you're really a,
you're really
a quick
you
eater.
You got a real zest for eating, don't you?
I think if anything, if I was on a date with somebody and she just like piled off a rack of ribs and like...
Didn't we order the same thing?
Well, when you're having a date with somebody and they finish your meal and you still have a lot of food on your plate, that means you're talking too much, right?
Well, unless they're wolves. you're dating...
Food, all right.
You're dating a wolf, maybe, because we both ordered the large combination, and yours is all gone.
Now, you keep saying that I have to get you home before the moon comes up. What's that about?
Oh, nothing. It's not a hard, fast rule, but...
Seems like you go through a lot of razors.
It's a good idea.
Uh-huh. This poll also asked people what their favorite dips were, and... How many people do you think, what percentage of people order a dip when they're out to eat?
Order a dip?
Yeah, like as an appetizer.
Okay, like a queso?
Yeah, queso or a salsa, something along those lines. What percentage of Americans order a dip when they're dining out?
Is it more than half?
69, dude!
Really? That still seems kind of high.
69%.
Because I wouldn't guess that that 69% of people order appetizers. I would think it would be less than 50%.
I would say that when I do order an appetizer, more often than not, it's a dip. Either salsa and chips or queso and chips. That's probably
90%. The salsa and chips really should be complimentary.
Well, but okay. Then I would think if it's complimentary, that still counts. Whether you're ordering it or whether it's
delivered. Doesn't count. That
you
doesn't count.
So?
No, I'm talking about ordering an appetizer.
So what would you guess is the top dip? What is, or actually favorite, the favorite dip amongst American diners?
I suppose queso.
Queso's number three on the list here.
What other kind of dips are there?
Well, there's so many. Spinach and artichoke.
Oh, I suppose there's that.
I once watched Tommy Lasorda consume at a Connie's Pizza. I watched him order spinach and artichoke dip for the table.
And ate it all.
He had it all himself. And I had never...
Didn't he eat all the toasted ravioli as well?
Yeah. Oh, he went after
And then
it.
Finished off like pasta and a pizza.
I was at the table next to Mr. Lasorda, and I said, what did Tommy just order? And the waitress goes, he always gets the spinach and artichoke dip. And I said, well, I'll have some of that then.
Slim fast my ass.
Well, he was off the slim fast at this point.
Liar. was, you liar.
He was done with all of that.
Did he pass away recently?
He did. Queso comes in at number three on the list. Guacamole,
oh,
number
sure,
two.
Oh, sure, of course, guacamole.
And then salsa is at number one. What would you say your favorite dip is?
French onion.
French onion is just...
But typically they don't offer that for the most part at restaurants. Why is that? That you can't get chip and dip at a restaurant.
That's a fair question.
That's never an option.
It's a fair question because on the list here, it comes right in between hummus and spinach and artichoke dip.
But
I've seen hummus and I've seen spinach and artichoke dip on the menu. I don't know if I've ever seen French onion dip.
Never offered at a restaurant.
Yeah, you're right.
That is a home thing.
Well, there you go. Restaurateurs.
I mean, you can get potato chips at places, typically a sandwich place.
Uh-huh.
But potato chips are never offered as an appetizer for the most part on a menu.
Well, unless it's home-style chips that you're getting in place of fries.
Well, okay, there's that.
But even then,
there's no offer of French onion dip.
Wouldn't that be wonderful if you could get French potato chips that they made there at the restaurant and our house French onion dip?
Typically,
I'd go nuts for
people
that.
Never eat potato chips and French onion dip unless they're at their own home.
You're right.
I mean, okay, maybe at a picnic.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
But never in public, for the most part.
You're right. I think there's a real need for
What's
that.
What's going on?
I'm looking at all the dips here. And all of these dips are readily available in restaurants,
except
the French onion dip, which 30% of people say is something that they really enjoy.
Why are we being neglected?
It gets a better rating than hummus.
Yeah.
It gets a better rating than buffalo chicken dip.
That's going to be offered at a restaurant.
It gets a higher rating than seven-layer dip,
yep.
Bean dip, pizza dip, or pimento cheese. Yeah, let's get the French onion dip involved in the menus. Especially restaurants that have the homemade
If
potato
you saw
chips.
That, yeah, if you saw that as an appetizer, homemade potato chips along with French onion dip.
Our house
French onion dip.
I'd go nuts for that.
Of course you'd have that.
You know the thing too about that as an appetizer? Chips and dip, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I could go to town on that and not get full. As opposed to like a mozzarella stick or
well,
a toasted
yeah, you can
ravioli.
Eat a lot of it. You can eat a lot of it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to get full on potato chips and French onion dip.
Well, depending on how much they give you.
Right. They're not going to give you enough to get packed to the rafters, are they?
But a creamy bowl of French onion dip and homemade potato chips? Stop yourself.
If there is a restaurant that you know of that
yeah.
has French
onion dip. Does anybody do that?
Here in town, please let us know, because we'd like to celebrate that.
Celebrate them.
Yes. Why can't you get that?
Never seen it.
Why can't you get that at a restaurant? I just did a Google here, and it says the only place in town you can get it is Hy-Vee and the Dollar General.
Yeah, Dollar to take home.
Dollar General French onion dip.
Well, they've got...
Are you intrigued?
They've got refrigeration.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you like our creamy French onion dip? We make it fresh every day. With
and our own potato chips. Stop yourself.
That's all I'll have, frankly.
What if they come out and they're warm potato chips with the French onion dip? My God.
I think that's all I'd have.
I'll just have that and a lot of ice cold beer. Just keep it coming.
Is that maybe why they don't put it on the menu? Because that's all you would order? Are they afraid of it? Are you terrified of what a French onion dip would do on your menu? This is...
Does anyone do it? I don't think so.
French onion dip, by the way, is also known as California dip. Have you ever heard it called California dip?
No.
Neither have I. It's not French at all, by the way. The French didn't make it. They call it French because it's made with dehydrated French onion soup mix.
That's correct.
So French onion dip, if you go to France, they don't just call it onion dip.
They'd smack you for even asking and then surrender.
Served at parties. It's described here as an American classic.
Yeah, served at parties, but not at restaurants.
All right, it says here French onion dip can also be used on hamburgers. You ever had a hamburger topped with French onion dip?
No, but I'm gonna now.
That sounds fantastic.
I'm surprised that you like French onion dip.
I love it.
There's a texture thing, though. What's the deal?
No, because the texture is offset by the firmness of the potato chip. I couldn't just eat a bowl spoonful of French onion dip.
I wouldn't.
But you put it on a hearty potato chip. The potato chip, you see, provides...
If I saw you eating a bowl, I'd lock you up.
It's just like I can't eat tuna fish unless it's in a casserole with a bunch of potato chips. The potato chips, for me, are a delivery vehicle for something that's as creamy as a tuna fish or a French onion dip or California dip. Who calls it California dip?
Nobody. No.
Maybe that's what you call it on the menu, if you call it California dip. It was originally invented, and the recipe was shared on Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts back in 1955.
Natch.
That's fantastic. They were trying to sell...
Arthur Godfrey. You've got a lot of answering to do. Well, not anymore.
No.
Not anymore.
No.
But he did.
No, Arthur Godfrey.
What was his talent?
Bringing other people on the show. His talent was saying, now here's some people that are going to spin plates. Enjoy. Yeah, he's been dead since 1983.
Sure.
So we're good.
Him and Belushi.
Died together at the Chateau Marmont.
That's right. With a speedball in his hand.
Four.
Oreos, the delicious cookie. They began selling Pokemon Oreos a couple of days ago. And now people are selling the cookies on eBay for thousands of dollars. Limited edition Pokemon cookies. And there are some cookies, I guess, some Pokemon cookies that are harder to find. So on the cookie itself, they have the different characters.
Yeah, that makes sense. What about the cream filling? Anything different with that or no?
I think it's just Oreos.
It's just the cookie itself.
Right. And the whole gimmick with Pokemon is you got to catch them all, right?
Yeah.
So you can buy your Pokemon Oreo and then keep track of which Pokemon is in your Oreo cookies. Some of them are very easy to find. Some of them are a little bit rarer.
I will say this. If I was Mr. Oreo.
Yeah. Don Oreo?
Yeah. Al Oreo. Whatever.
I think you know his name is Don.
Don.
He's on the phone.
Don? Is Don Oreo on the phone? Is that Don?
Is Don on the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don Oreo.
All right. So I'm Don Oreo.
Donald Oreo.
And some young person comes in and presents this to me.
Yeah.
You know what I would say?
Uh-huh.
Run with it. I like it. I don't really know much about your Pokemon, but I don't need to know.
That's why I pay you.
I like it.
Uh-huh.
Run with it.
Pokemon Oreos released earlier this month. You were able to pre-order them online, but they were limited to 3 packages per customer.
Yeah,
the cookies in each pack are put in at random, meaning no one's guaranteed to get every Pokemon in each
pack.
Pikachu, very common.
And that's why this was all explained to me, and that's why I greenlighted it.
Other characters like Mew are considered rare.
Uh-huh.
There are 16 different Pokemon characters on the cookies in total.
16.
Yeah. So while a package of Oreos costs a couple bucks in stores, there are several packages listed online on eBay going for hundreds of dollars or more. Price varies depending on whether you're willing to go head-to-head in a billing war or just buy it now. several people selling individual Oreos, mostly the Muse. That's a Pokemon character. Single cookie prices vary from $4.25 all the way up to $2,500.
Yeah, no, I knew this was going to be a good idea.
Well, here's the thing, though, Don Oreo.
That's why you're I put a rubber stamp on it.
You're not making that money.
It doesn't matter. It's still a good idea.
That's the secondary Oreo market that's flush with all that cash. People are buying the packs and the
single
cookies.
What if I'm buying a? I'm buying them up.
This is a mass-produced sandwich cookie, and you're paying $2,500 for it. And are you doing that because you think maybe over time it'll be worth more? Is it an investment? Worth pointing out that Oreo's parent company, the workers have been on strike for a long time. 5-week strike came to a conclusion just a couple of days ago. The union contract expired in May. They are kicking around the idea, the initial proposal from the Mondelez company. Those are the owners of Oreo. The initial proposal resulted in the possibility of 12-hour workdays with less overtime, which would result in significant losses of payment for employees. Don Oreo, not a good guy. Mr. Don Oreo?
I'm sorry, I'm on vacation.
You're not answering my phone calls,
I'm not taking
calls,
Don. I'm currently out of the country.
16 package designs in total. And the availability of some packages were low, and they did that on purpose. Because they want you to keep buying Oreos. And, you know, that's it's not like your kids aren't begging you to buy Oreos all the time.
Now,
but now that there's the Pokemon angle.
I'll say this.
That's a nightmare. If your kids find out about this, it's a nightmare.
I'll say this, and I might get beat up for it.
Yeah.
Oreo, not my favorite cookie.
Yeah?
No.
There was one time when my son was very young, and I got the Hy-Vee brand.
The Hydrox?
No, not Hydrox, which predate Oreo, by the way. Oreo is the ripoff of Hydrox. I think they're called, like, Lil Dunkers or something. It's the Hy-Vee version of Oreo cookies.
And he saw right through it?
And I brought those home because I saved, like, $1.25 on the... And I thought, at the time, he was, like, 5.
Yeah.
I thought, what's he going to know? And he took one look at the box of Hy-Vee Oreos, and he said...
And threw it right back in your face.
Word for word, he looked at me, and he said, this... is plagiarism.
Well,
it's not. It's just a different, you know, different company making the Oreos. And then he wouldn't even try it.
You're not going to care for your Dr. Thunder then.
Believe it.
Number five.
Apple working on iPhone features that will help detect depression and cognitive decline. That's something they're said to be working on. Your phone will...
Beep, 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 beep.
Your phone will let you know if you're depressed. I don't know that you need your phone to tell you that you're depressed.
The thing will be going off all the time.
Meanwhile, they're working hard on smart toilets. They are coming up with toilets now that will use sensors and artificial intelligence to analyze your waste. The toilet that you have in your home has not functionally changed its design since it was first introduced.
So the smart toilet.
That's right.
Toilet. And I would think that would probably be pretty good at discovering if you're depressed.
If your toilet tells you you're depressed, that would...
Tell me about
it. Even if you didn't know that you were dealing with depression.
Yeah.
And then your toilet's like, hey, man. Let's have a talk.
Or cognitive slippage.
Right.
It's like, I think you're starting to lose it, man.
I don't know. Maybe a toilet that's also a counselor is not the worst idea, because who knows you better?
Very intimate.
The idea is that the toilet will scan what you put in it and will develop it will know who's on the toilet. With some sort of like...
Well, it's like that new kitty litter that they're advertising.
Exactly.
Where it turns different colors depending on what might be wrong with your cat.
It's exactly the same thing. Smart toilet innovators think that it could become the ultimate health monitoring tool.
Sure.
The product will analyze and track your samples and then send data to an app and will provide information related to cancer and many other chronic diseases.
Let you know that you're eating too much cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you realize how much cheese you're eating?
Well, imagine if you get an email from your toilet that says...
Yeah, now we're getting texts from our toilet.
Well, but think of the lives that could be saved.
Yeah, no, I'm down.
If the toilet determines that there's something in your urine or your stool...
Right.
...that is something of a red flag and a checkup is needed...
Sure.
...and you go to the doctor...
Yeah.
...and the doctor's able to say, well, we're catching this real early, so yeah. It's not going to be...
No, sounds like a good idea. What do they want for these things?
Well, they're still working on it. The smart toilet could make lifestyle suggestions. For instance, a toilet could tell you that you need to eat more fiber, or it could tell you what nutrients you are lacking.
Maybe it could even talk to you.
It could also work out what food triggered an uncomfortable gastric episode. So when you're dealing with that,
I think it was the Carolina Reaper. I know what it was.
you're able to kind of put that together.
Yeah, no, I figured that one out.
On your own.
Diarrhea.
But sometimes it's, I wonder if it was the fish.
Will it welcome you like Siri, though? Well, hello, Dave.
I don't know that anyone wants that.
You think you've got a crap job.
Yeah, I don't want it to have a voice.
No, it's got to have a voice.
No, I think emails and texts are appropriate. I don't want it talking to me like Alexa does. That's not what I'm looking for. They also will be able to tell, like, if you've been working out. Mm. Because there are certain things in your waist that indicate that you're somebody who's been exercising regularly. So maybe you get an email saying, like, hey.
Good for you. Keep it up.
You haven't been exercising, I've noticed. Panasonic launched a smart toilet in China that tested urine and tracked body fat.
Hello, my name is Troilet.
And then at the annual Consumer Electronics Show, a Japanese manufacturer, Toto, announced their new wellness toilet. It's a concept toilet for the moment, but something that they've been working on. And there are sensors that will detect health problems such as stress and then be able to make lifestyle suggestions. Hey, man, I got to check out early. Got to go meditate. My toilet just sent me an email and said I'm really stressed. They're working on technology, too, that can analyze, like, how long you're on it and how long it takes. And it can track the velocity and color of your urine as well as test it. There's a Korean toilet manufacturer that's also working on this.
I just got a text from Troy.
Uh-huh.
Troilet.
They've developed a scanner, too, that can recognize the physical characteristic of whoever's sitting on the toilet. Or, as they say, the distinctive features.
Sure you don't want it talking to you?
Of your anoderm.
Nice ass.
Your anoderm is the skin of the anal canal. Essentially, you have an anal print that's just like your fingerprint.
Uh-huh.
So the camera will go bloop and take a quick look up the old wazoo. And it'll be able to say, oh, well, this is Darren. I'd recognize this anus anywhere.
Well, who wouldn't?
So it won't be sending your emails to someone else.
No, you don't want that.
Wrecked him, damn near killed him.
You know, they've been tracking with COVID. They've been tracking sewage plants to track where it is because they're able to find it in the waste. So they're able to tell like where there are spikes when they see it in sewage plants. They're able to say, well, there's a lot of COVID showing up in people's urine and whatnot. And then they're able to kind of mobilize and take care of areas where there are spikes. And they're doing that. They've been doing that. This is not the bold new, sometime in the near distant future. This is happening right now. There's also a toilet seat someone's developed called TrueLoo, which you put on your existing toilet, and it recognizes you by your phone. Like, you have your phone with you when you go to the bathroom. And then it's able
to... Careful with that, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's able to look at things like the volume, clarity, consistency, and color of the things that you leave in the toilet.
Beefy.
Right now, they're only marketing that for an older...
What'd you do, eat the whole cow? Getting shamed by your toilet.
Well, it's not shame if it saves your life. It could potentially save your life.
No, I'm okay.
I don't have a problem with my phone taking a look up there if it's able to see what the problem is.
You like what you see?
Yeah. Of course, you have an issue then of if your toilet is taking anal prints and then that data is going on the internet, now you have to worry about privacy, right? Because people pointing, for a lot of good reasons, cameras pointing up your butt, that's something a lot of folks are uncomfortable with, for now at least. They say that you may trust, even if it's a company you trust, there are people that say that's a bit too much. Because what if this data, you know, if are you freaked out about the toilet putting on the internet what your health is like at the moment? Is that something you want to keep?
Yeah, I don't need like revenge photos. Although, quite frankly, I mean, you've seen one.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Thanks for downloading, subscribing, and listening to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Leaving a review when you get a chance is always super appreciated. Also, we should probably say thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Yeah, they have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan, West Main Street in Galesburg. Both locations are now open 7 days a week. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. The recreational waiting lists are available. Reserve your time today at the website, ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to do this for you again, hang loose, Cougs.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Good day to you. We're done.